This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a five-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 to today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast, and it's basketball season. We got a week of it under our belt, and so we're going to switch it over. The C&G Road Grader of the Week now becomes the C&G Smooth Operator of the Week. We will reserve the right to bring it back pending results from Goochland's football state championship game on Saturday, but we're going to dive into the Bulldogs in a minute. But let's start with the Smooth Operators of the Week. C&G Paving, want to thank them as always for sponsoring this. And first one's got to go to a tandem player who led the Badgers to pretty good couple of wins to open up the season.
Yeah, I think tandem sort of the team that won week one of basketball
season. I agree,
season.
Yeah.
And Jalen Anderson with a couple of huge games for them for tandem to be able to beat St. Anne's and then Covenant all in the same week. Just if they did that in a calendar year,
they'd feel pretty great about it. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic job there. I think he had 23 points the first go around and then 21 and 5. Yeah. So that's a pretty solid week. 44 points. He'll take that from Jalen Anderson. Yeah. But we've seen him before. He was on a very good Monroe team.
Mm-hmm.
That went pretty deep. And the kid can play. He can drive. He
played well alongside Latrell Winkie over there in tandem in the last year or two. Yeah, I mean, like, we know he's a proven entity. He's a really good little player. Does a really nice job. And like you said, 23 points, 5 3-pointers. Pretty darn good performance from him. When you look at too, I mean, like you said, like if they did this in a calendar year for tandem, it would be impressive. To do it in 1 week is crazy. I can't remember a time where they've beaten Stab. I think they've knocked off Covenant before, but I can't remember a time that they've beaten Stab. This is just a huge, huge week for them and a great way for them to kind of get the season started before they move into the rest of their conference play, which is always sort of a crapshoot. You never really know what you're going to get in that conference.
Yeah, and from tandem side of things, you look at it and you sort of say, well, they've had some really good individual players before.
Yeah.
Mahoney and all.
Yeah, guys. Matt Mahoney. Yeah. Anytime we can mention Matt Mahoney on this podcast, we will mention Matt Mahoney.
And Winkie as well. Anderson, do they have the pieces to put together a big run? We've seen great individual performances out there. And some of these games in the Division III basketball can get really interesting where you'll just see a stat line. You're like, what, somebody had 75 points? What? we'll see what happens going forward with Tanda. But if that was your first week, the sky's the limit for that group. And it's going to be a fun group to watch.
No question about it.
Really cool gym if you haven't been out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you are right on top of the floor out of tandem. It's a pretty, just old school kind of vibe. It's a tight quarters in there, so you got to be careful.
No question about it. Next up for Smooth Operator of the Week on the girl side, we're trying to do one girl, one boy each week. She could get it every week, no question about it. Maybe she's going to get it a couple of times this year, but with the week that Sam Brunell put together, it's hard to argue. William Monroe Starr got him off on the right foot. Couple of 30-point games, win over Orange, win over Fluvanna. They're rolling along, and you got to like just that she's not messing around. She's on a mission this year, and it's very clear from the jump.
Yeah, there's a warpath mentality to her senior year going forward. And it's kind of funny, you look at Monroe and you think, okay, so what are the pieces around Brunell? Because we're just so used to the numbers that she's going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get them every game. And so, 35 points and 5 3-pointers against Fluvanna, that's just that's a Tuesday evening for Sam. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that's what's cool is that, like you said, like you got to start looking at the pieces. Those 35-point games, 30-point games have come with maximum effort, in the past. And they've come in 4 full quarters. They've come now, and, maybe possibly with the addition of Megan Apple, the addition of Brianna Wolfter, maybe there's – there's some pieces that are sort of fitting into place. Ayanna Carey's game is clearly improved. She had a steal and finish that was pretty impressive. They've got some pieces that are coming together really nicely. And Haley Morris.
It's a big difference between a freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah, yep. Haley Morris is a vastly improved player, and with Wolfter's emergence, they can bring Haley Morris off the bench, which is just a huge, huge lift for them. So there's a little more talent, a little more versatility, a little more experience around.
I think that's going to matter a lot too, is sort of having gone down this road once before. It was so important to sort of get in that state tournament so that everybody sort of get their feet wet yet and know what it's like to feel that kind of pressure. And then you have an entire off season to stew about it and then jump back into it. So Monroe, I mean, they're going to be, this is going to be a team that's got like a little bit of a chip on their shoulder in a good way for quite some time. And if Brunel just keeps pouring in her 35 points every game, and it'll be another 30 rebounds. We'll have one of those games pretty soon too, but record books is the other thing to keep a watch on her. I mean, she's been doing this for, this is her fourth year now, and there are going to be some interesting, I mean, she owns everything there already is at Monroe, but let's see what she does VHSL-wise.
There's going to be some stuff falling. So, and the other thing to note, too, is that they are doing a great job of taking this one game at a time. We are the ones who are fast-forwarding to the state term. You know, we've seen this before, though. To me, this there's a little bit of parallel between the Madison County team from, 2009, 2010?
So, yeah, the 2009 team, they fell in the spring of 2009. I think it was the state semifinal. To Dan River, and then the next year they come out and beat Alta Vista in the state title game. But yeah, you could see that run sort of coming in there. I don't think it's all that different from what we saw with Yaya at Fluvanna.
Great
run, he sort of got them into that state tournament that first go around, and then came back. I mean, their career paths are kind of similar because they started so early. I mean, that's a big thing. Just not too many people that can be that productive as freshmen, and Yaya and Sam are sort of those. The pinnacle of that for the last 10 years that we've been around.
There's no question about it. So easy picks to me for Smooth Operator of the Week. Jalen Anderson at Tandem, Sam Brunel at William Monroe, a lot of other players. We're going to get to some more basketball in a second, but we're still hanging on to football season, and we're still hanging on because Goochland got it done against East Rockingham, Battle of Unbeatens, and they pull it off. The Bulldogs get it done, and they got it done with a little bit of a change up in the lineup.
Yeah, it was really cool to see what they were able to come out there and do. They weren't playing without Quincy Snead, and so they had to find a way to get that rushing attack going. They found a way. It wasn't much of a problem for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's just this. We talked about this in the podcast earlier. This second half of their regular season, that CJ Tolles was going to play quarterback, and he's getting a lot of reps, and that was going to matter, going into probably next year. Well, it turns out it matters in the playoffs. They were able to put him there, slide Devin McCray over on the wing, rush him a little bit off the edge and stuff, and then Connor Populars was a huge game. It was just old-fashioned Goochland football, and then that defense is as reliable a defense as you're going to get. Outstanding game to watch because East Rockingham comes out there and scores on the second play.
Dwan Evans, right?
Yeah, great game from him early on, and then Goochland just took him out of the formula. I mean, East Rockingham could not run the football. It just never happened for them. And Goochland just controlled the clock the entire time, kept all these speedy guys that East Rockingham has on offense, they just sat on the sidelines or were playing defense. So there's nothing they could do, and it was just, it's kind of fun to watch Goochland. When Goochland's in full Goochland mode, it's just really entertaining to watch.
Let's talk about Goochland.
It's emasculating.
Yeah,
it is.
It's soul-sucking to watch Goochland when they are controlling the clock and doing what they want to do, which is 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards. 3 yards, 3 yards, four. I mean, it is maddening. I can't imagine what it's like to play against.
Popular's talked about it after the game. He was like, yeah, I'm really just trying to fall down for 5 yards every play. And, every once in a while you break one off. He broke loose on a 75-yarder. But it looked like a 5-yard dive at first. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's off to the races. But, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. And the way it feeds that defense, what they had to do to slow East Rockingham down on defense is it wasn't just they just had to show up. They ran a heavy rotation of defensive linemen. And those guys were absolutely gassed. East Rockingham tried to spread Goochland out and had a little bit of success in the second half doing that. But it just didn't matter because they couldn't stop the ball on the other side. And you're only getting the ball every 10 minutes of gameplay because those drives are so long. So it just a really cool run. I think, Goochland came into that one a little bit of an underdog. I think a lot more was written about East Rockingham. I mean, pretty solid media presence around that team. And that word got back to Goochland, and they didn't like it. You know, they're both number one seeds. At this point, all the teams are good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no top dog, underdog kind of thing. But Goochland just had that little edge to them. They were happy to be on the road and to do that, you know, in East Rock to their fans. And like, hey, this is our brand of football. You might have heard about it. We won a couple state titles doing this. And East Rockingham hadn't been in this position before. And that's that right. was Goochland's very kind, welcoming party. You know, 300.
This is what it takes to win.
49 yards rushing football. Down your throat.
Again, East Rock, fantastic team. We've just seen over the years too many times Goochland do this to too many teams. The Wilson Memorial squads that were so good with Connery Swift and some of those guys.
Wilson Memorial to this day has rules that you're not allowed to wear red. You're not allowed to say the word Goochland. It's kind of like what Ohio State does to with Michigan. Like if they see that G, they just go nuts. You know, and that was 7 or 8 years ago. So I mean, they're still having night terrors and sort of PTSD over it.
This is
maybe East Rock. I mean, it's a different situation. They can't ban red since that's their own colors. But
change the coach, and Alex Ruth has done a fantastic job. Incredible adjustment to putting McCray on the wing and having the confidence in the young guy to do it. But you change the coach, you change the players. It doesn't really matter. Every year, Goochland shows up, and they are really tough. They are rugged. They are frustrating. And 2 weeks in a row now, they have taken out really, really good backs and figured out a way. They've given up a big run early to them and then figured out a way to stop them. That defense has been state championship level from week one. Yep. And it's just awesome, awesome performance by Goochland to get to this level.
It's really cool, I think, for this group because there's a great deal of separation from this sort of senior class. And, you know, the last one to win a state title in 2012. And, you know, 2 years ago, Goochland had an opportunity to kind of bridge the gap a little bit there. You know, Clay Brooks was the big defender on that one, Sam's older brother. And, you know, that team just fell short against Appomattox. That was an outstanding Appomattox team. You know, they won that sort of three straight titles, state titles in a row there. And that I think that squad there in 2016 might have been the best of those three. But yeah, this is pretty cool for them. I mean, they made the trip in 2011, came up short, put it all back together, won the whole thing outright in 2012. And then, you know, here we are again, heading down to Salem.
And the reward is Graham.
So Graham, a little bit, I mean, the playoffs were a little funky on the other side of the bracket. Cause you had Richland and Graham's, in there, like the 5 seed and the 3 seed, playing for the region championship.
Yeah.
Graham wins that game. And then blows the doors off of Radford. 48-0 at the half.
Radford had a sort of a meltdown with a lot of turnovers. That's a good Radford football team, too.
Yeah, unbeaten Radford team that had just been pounding. And then I don't know if they just forgot to show up or Graham just came out there and swung so hard, put them on the mat, and they're just like, you know what, we're going to sit this one out.
Yeah, 48-0 at the half.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Graham's got a dude. Cam Allen can play. He's their cornerback. He's their quarterback. 9 for 13 passing, 171 yards. He had touchdown throws of 53, 34, and 33. He's headed to Purdue. He's playing college football. This is going to be
recruited by Anthony Poindexter, by the way. Local legend, Anthony Poindexter.
This is going to be this is a really cool matchup, putting this quarterback against this defense. These two high school football programs are going to have a lot of fun this week trying to figure out what are we going to do to each other.
Yeah.
I really like the sort of the schematics here, the battle. I think this is going to be an outstanding game.
Yeah, so I mean, you get it's going to be a lot of fun, like you said, to see what they do with McCray. That was sort of obviously you termed it a revelation for them.
I just thought the ability to, I mean, because they had him lined up at quarterback as well when they got into the red zone. But to slide him around, you could just tell the defenses were confused. They weren't expecting this. And it was just it looked so much different. We've seen that offense on, you know, on really high levels. And for a little bit at the end there, it just felt like they weren't quite clicking. You know, but they're such a good team. They're just winning these games no matter what. And I just felt like they had something different in this East Rockingham game. Now, I mean, you got to give all the credit to that line up front. I mean, those guys, you know, Jacob Massey and Tyler May and all those guys, they've just done a great job in the playoffs of providing consistent blocking, just getting uphill, and not a lot of penalties. That's a big one. I mean, it's not like Goochland had these touchdowns that were, you know, called back because of a hold or anything.
technically so, yeah, sound just, group.
Man. Yeah, I'm just in a fun group to watch. These guys get along really well. Like just everybody on the team, it's a very charismatic group. You can tell they're just having a blast doing this.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of Jamal Carter, I don't really have time for you. Yeah, Jamal Carter's awesome.
Just everybody sort of involved on the sidelines, like we get to see it pretty up close and personal. The coaches and the players, the administration. I mean, there's nothing more fun than watching former coach Joe Fowler pace in the end zone. I mean, it's still real to him. he's really invested in this team too. It's killing him that he's almost not the coach he would love to kind of thing. But yeah, it's fun to be around, and I mean, it's cool for us. This is 2 years in a row we get to go to all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
The 15 weeks of football is a lot better than 10.
That's right. Absolutely. So Goochland, Graham, big matchup. 4:30 in Salem on Saturday. So, and at least a couple of days ago, there was a big threat of snow later that night. So maybe this becomes one of those, great equalizers. Who knows?
You never know. both these teams have been sort of moved around to field turf. I mean, mm-hmm. they had to move that game for Graham and them because of the issues they had in Southwest Virginia. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting little foray into December. See if we can. I think that 2011 game might have been the coldest football game I've been to. That was pretty crisp. Yeah, we'll see. Who knows?
Here we go. So let's talk a little bit of basketball. A few things that we saw. Let's start on the boys' side. You got a chance to see Orange. Let's talk a little bit about what Orange County got a big win against William Monroe. Then they knocked off Madison. Two pretty good wins for Orange County.
Yeah, I think that's a great start to their season. With the Monroe win, I think the real key for them is sort of finding a way to win. They didn't do a lot of the things that they would like to, like hit free throws in the fourth quarter. But they're really, they gutted it out anyways. And that's important when you're sort of a young developing team like Orange has been these last couple of years. Finding ways to win is really important. And mm-hmm. I feel like they did a great job doing that. They've got Kyrie Carter back. I mean, that was a big one. Losing Braxton, their post presence from last year. They had to have somebody. Carter, we've seen him in football. He's healthy. He missed last year because of a knee injury. He's a big body in the paint. Adam Oot's calling him sort of like a Charles Barkley body type. Just really likes to bang in the paint and scoop up the boards. He can finish underneath. Tough kid. That's a nice little engine for them. And then we'll see what happens. J.J. McDonald is a freshman coming in, hitting a couple big threes. If they can get reliable production out of him, night in, night out kind of stuff, that's a team to keep a watch on in the JD that, we've been waiting for Orange to have sort of a resurgence. It's been not quite 10 years, but we're getting close to that number where, Orange used to... That was one of the big boys.
Yeah.
They won a handful of Jefferson District titles between
Tyler Brad Seale, Starks and Quentin Hunter.
Quentin Hunter, all those guys. So Orange basketball, I think you don't have to go that far back, but this is an opportunity for them to sort of put themselves back in the mix. We saw Louisa sort of make this push a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a team to watch. Either way, it should be fun to watch.
No question about it. So Orange, really nice performance on the girls' side. Western got off to a really nice start. Elizabeth Kaufman, she's not one you can forget because she has been playing for so long and playing so well. But you can sort of, I personally kind of lost track of she is awfully good and she was vastly improved. I mean, she nearly had a triple-double in the first half against a Culpeper team that beat William Monroe last year for a region title. 11 points in the first half, 11 points, 6 steals, 4 assists. Elizabeth Kaufman is a heck of a basketball player. She is really, really tough. It's clear she's playing with a lot of energy, a lot of intent right now. So it's fun to watch her get a chance to play. And then Sydney Sherman had a really good run for him too. They've got some other pieces that are really shaping up nicely. And I think Western's going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, I mean, Kaufman's game is interesting because she does it so quietly. I mean, she puts up crazy numbers.
Yeah.
But it's just there's sort of, a finesse to it where you're just like, you don't realize.
Smooth. It's within system. She's not going to play outside of herself. But, playing within herself against Culpeper as a defensive stopper at the top of a press, man, that's pretty good stuff. She and Ellie Plants did a really nice job of combining and creating a lot of steals, creating a lot of havoc. They just had some really nice things going. Western could be a even more multidimensional team this year.
Yeah. I mean, and when you're that good as a defender, and then also, I mean, just a great ball handler, it creates a turnover ratio that is a real problem.
Yeah. Because
she's never turning it over, and, you know, Western defensively is creating a bunch on the other side, and it just sort of gets things lopsided. I think, you know, Western, we saw them 2 years ago, you know, Kaufman was a sophomore, make a deep push, big win at Liberty Bedford in that region tournament, and then, you know, nice push last year. We'll see if they can build. I feel like their postseason might have ended a little quicker than they thought it would. So, you know, we're racing to postseason already in basketball. But, yeah, it's I feel like December is sort of like the rust shake-off month. You're just trying to sort of connect the dots between last year and now, and, hey, what do these teams look like comparatively?
Well, if like six first-half steals is how you shake off the rust, you're doing pretty darn good. Elizabeth Kaufman is locked in for this senior year. Sydney Sherman's playing really well. Western is in really good shape. William Monroe's in really good shape, like we talked about earlier. The combination of Brudel, Wolfter, Morris, I mean, they've got some depth, a little bit of depth to play with now. They got some good things happening. They took care of a Fluvanna team that has some depth issues and is having to redevelop some young players. But Nevaeh Ivory for them has looked pretty darn good. I think she had 16 and 16 in their first two games last week.
The guard play in the Jefferson District is really strong this
year.
We're looking at a lot of good.
Because we haven't touched on CHS yet, but CHS has got all kinds of players that are playing well. So when you got those kind of kids stepping up, that's fantastic. It's good to see young players who are already stepping up in a big way. St. Ann's Belfield, we talked a little bit about Mo Johnson just last week.
Yeah, and she went and did us a favor.
Yeah, it's not often that we want to go out on a limb with an eighth grader, but Mo Johnson made that worth it. She picked up all tournament honors at the Flint Hill tournament, and she had 23, 8, and 4. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals in the Flint Hill game, in the last Flint Hill game for them. I mean, that's
absurd.
That's an awesome performance for anybody. That's a particularly awesome performance for an eighth grader. So it's really good to see Mo Johnson getting off to a great start on what's going to be a pretty special career. And they've got, you know, we talked about it last week, Stab's got all kinds of players working. Vanessa Woodfolk working. They got Javiah Winkie working. You know, they got the whole Scotty Hull is rolling. She's a vastly improved player this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how Stab kind of starts fitting everything together. But they look like they're going to be a pretty darn good squad this year. So,
yeah, that's going to be a tough one. The LIS is sort of in for it there.
There's
usually some good matchups in there, but St. Anne's is really, I mean, we'll see, you know, when they line up against, Trinity Episcopal.
And
Collegiate and all those
Saint
guys.
St. Cats. Yeah. There's always good teams in the LIS. It's going to test them, but a really good start for them. They're kind of offering. They beat Highlands 67-55. Good win for them. So it's good to see all these sort of young players stepping up. We're starting to get a little bit of a grasp of what's going on. And this week, we got big matchups. Almar CHS on Friday. We got Western Monticello in a doubleheader. And then, you know, you get some teasers. We get our first look locally at Miller and Blue Ridge. They play Tuesday night.
Yeah, first of their 5 annual meetings.
Yeah. Well, this one is, what do we got? We got Blue Ridge is hosting a school, Grace Christian, I think. And then you got Miller and Stab hooking up over at their place. So it's going to be fun to watch, you know, we got our first chance to see those teams live locally. A lot to watch this week. Still got some football that's hanging out there. Congratulations to Goochland on getting that far. And we'll be checking next week. We'll have a lot more basketball that we've seen. Maybe have a football state title to talk about. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it.